You take your seat, you can take your copy of the Word of God and open with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. I'm going to look at some magnificent and very memorable words by our Lord Jesus this morning for the message in Matthew chapter 11, in verses 20 through 30, before we enjoy Holy Communion together. This, incidentally, was the third scripture reading this morning. And in it, our Lord speaks to three audiences. First, he delivers a condemnation to cities that never repented as a result of his preaching, but principally as a result of his miracles that he performed there. And then secondly, he gives a sovereign declaration as he turns in verse 25 to speak to the Father in prayer. And then finally, a gracious invitation in verses 28 through 30 as our Lord winds up these words. And so I'd like you to pay attention to those three things for a few moments as we study God's Word together: a surprising condemnation, a sovereign declaration, and a gracious invitation by our Lord. Let's pray. Father, I ask now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart might be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Father, forgive the preacher, for his sins are many. We wish to see Jesus and him only. Help us now by your Holy Spirit to enlighten our minds and renew our wills that we may serve thee in the coming week. We devote this time to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first of all, I want you to notice a surprising condemnation in verses 20 to 24. Our Lord issues a condemnation of cities where most of his miracles were performed. The three towns mentioned are Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum. They were close together at the northern end of the Sea of Galilee. And there are other towns that are mentioned: Tyre, Sidon, and Sodom. These were wicked, pagan cities, according to Scripture and history. Cities that characterized by darkness, by idolatry, by immorality, and by perversion. In Isaiah 23 and Ezekiel chapters 26 through 28, these passages give the impression that the citizens of these cities were proud and were money-hungry and cruel. Amos chapter 1 verse 9 denounced the citizens of Tyre for selling Israelites into slavery to the Edomites. Jesus makes it clear that the wicked pagan cities, these three cities, Tyre and Sidon and Sodom, would have been more receptive to what he so clearly presented as the very works of God, more receptive than the other cities, which should have been receptive. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. If the mighty works were done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented a long time ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it'll be more tolerable, more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And he says essentially the same about Sodom. Now, what I want you to notice this morning is that the condemnation is somewhat surprising, not because, or I should say because, not so much actions, but because of unbelief. Unbelief. Jesus makes it clear that these notoriously wicked cities, where so much willful evil took place, would fare better in the judgment than the other cities, not known for wicked, heinous crimes against humanity, but for the simple unbelief. In other words, judgment would be more severe for those who do nothing than for those who do evil. It is not evil deeds necessarily, ladies and gentlemen, that sends one to hell. It's unbelief. It's unbelief. All sins are heinous before God. Some in this life and time and space are more heinous than others. That's why we have gradations of judgment. That's why we have things like first, second, and third degree murder or manslaughter. But in God's eyes, he demands perfection. And none of us have that. And so what Jesus is making clear here is that the chief sin is unbelief. It's not all these other sins that we commit in thought and word and deed. The chief sin is a lack of repentance, a lack of faith, a lack of a response to him. I go back to Jeremiah chapter 6, which Blake read as our first reading this morning. Verse 10, the prophet says, "To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ears are uncircumcised, they cannot listen. Behold, the word of the Lord to them is an object of scorn. They take no pleasure in it." That is the chief sin. No response. No movement. Now, there are a couple of corollary truths to this. Number one is seeing is not believing. How many of us have ever heard from somebody who is not a believer in Christ and they would say, "Well, if I just had more evidence, well, if I just had a personal encounter myself, perhaps, with a physical Jesus, if he came up to my doorway and introduced himself and we talked a little bit, I would believe." No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. Seeing is not believing. You can have all the evidence in the world, but that will not change a heart that is disposed to evil. No, something else has to happen, something far greater than simply being presented with more evidence. Something supernatural must happen that we cannot bring about ourselves. And Jesus will address that in just a minute. But for now, let me say, seeing is not believing. You can have all the evidence in the world, and you never will believe unless a holy and a sovereign God opens your eyes and opens your ears to the reality of these things and the importance of them for yourself.